Let's learn. We're talking about Yiras Hashem. Page Kuf Samach Dalad. Very, very big Yisaitis. The Maral is talking about Yiras Shamayim, that when it comes to an experience of Yiddishkeit, there's no question, we'll talk about it more now, that Ahava, loving Hashem, and an intense feeling of love, that surge of Ahava, there's no question that for the moment, there's a more powerful experience. And there's a dveikus, there's an attachment to Hashem, a cleaving to Hashem that's connected to, that's the result of love that we'll talk more about in a minute. That certainly is a remarkable experience. But the question of what is it that's mekayim a Jew? In other words, what is it that sustains an individual Jew, befrat, and that sustains the Jewish people, bechlal? What sustains, what keeps us going to the end? That's Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim is what is Mekayim, the Jewish people. And we learn that the Chazals, the Gemara here in Shabbos, that only through that quality of Yiras Shamayim, of fear of Hashem and awe of Hashem, is a person constantly living in a, the person is constantly living in a state of being aware of the fact that he's an Eved Hashem. And when he's an Eved Hashem, it means that the one who is the Eloh, who's the cause, and the one that's Hashem, and the human being who's the effect or the result is a human being, that they remain constantly attached one to the other. If a person no longer needs Hashem, if a person no longer fears Hashem, if a person no longer obeys his mitzvahs, then in doing so he's detached himself from his cause. And when one is detached from his cause of existence, it's just a matter of time. It's like when you pull a tree out from the ground, it can manage for a little while. You take a fish out of the water, it'll manage for a few minutes, a half hour, but it's not going to last. So too, without Yiras Shamayim, you could have a Jew that's the biggest Ayav Hashem, that's in love with God. But without Yiras Shamayim, without Yiras Shamayim, it doesn't have a key. It could be like a flesh, could be a powerful flesh, but then it'll die. When there's Yiras Shamayim, that means that every second of my life, I live with this awareness that without Him and without His Torah, I don't have an existence. I partially can't exist. I don't exist. So we continue to learn now more about Yira and Ahava. On the second left-hand column, on page Kuf Samach Dalet, Kimi sheyesh ba Yiras Shamayim, who davik legamrei bay. Samaral says that the one who has Yiras Shamayim, who's God fearing, he's davik legamrei bay. He remains completely attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'loy kaina ahava. But that's not necessarily the case when a person loves Hashem. That's nice, it's terrific, but it doesn't necessarily maintain the relationship. You know that there are people who are very, very emotional people, but they're lacking somewhat in a sense of responsibility. When you're lacking in a sense of responsibility, you could be the most poetic person in the world. You could sing beautiful songs. There are a lot of couples that get married, and you think this is the most beautiful, loving, romantic situation. But if there's something missing in a sense of achrayis and kabbalas ol, so then it's short lived. So he says, Avki hu adibu bayis barach, even though it's true that when one loves Hashem, we're going to have to learn more in the footnote here because there's a little piece of the puzzle that's missing. But when one loves Hashem, it's true that that causes dibug, it causes attachment. What can I have? Afki who had dibug by Yisbarach, even though it's true that it brings attachment. Ein machshev atzmo ki'ilo ein lo mitzias. You see, loving and being in love is something that generates within the person a feeling of yeshus, a feeling of existence, a feeling of his own existence. Many people swear to each other, I love you, I love you, I love you. But really, what it means is, I love having you around to love me. What does it mean to I love you? I love you. So, if there would be subtitles every time that you have some romantic guy says the romantic girl, if there could be subtitles and the guy says, "Oh, I really love you," the subtitles would say, underneath it would say, "I very much love being loved by you." But it's very much a part of who I am and who my ego and satisfying my needs. Ahava is a very powerful thing. But what the Maharal says is that this is a yisoidus. He says, "Ein machshav atzma kilo ein lo metzias." Ahava, love, does not create within you the sense of not being, as if you can't exist without the other. So, care. In a certain, even though everybody that's in love thinks that, but ahava creates within the self a stronger sense of self. Ahava is a very egotistic thing. It's very rare that there should be a love that could be completely, completely altruistic. And if there is, it's because it's connected to Yira, which we'll see. But we know that Chazal have described Ahava that is not like the Ahava of David and Yohanes, which was pure, as Ahava Hatluya B'Davar, a love that depends on something. Therefore, most often, love is something that instead of you feeling that you're completely dependent upon the other and that your existence is meaningless without the other, in love, very often that person is just giving you more reason, more of a feeling of your own existence. He says, "Ein machshav atzma kilo ein lo metzias, rak shehu mischaber elav kama shnei ahavim shemischaberim zeh lazeh." It's true. Two ahavim, two people who love each other, are mischaberim zeh lazeh. They're attaching one to the other. In other words, we have Shragi and Sprinza. So Shragi and Sprinza love each other. It's gewaldig. So they love each other, and as a result of that ahava, we have two separate human beings who are mischabrim zeh lazeh, that they're attaching one to the other. How's that different from Yiras? He says, "Oh, but it's still Shragi and Sprinza." Aval, however, Hayira, when it comes to Yira, mipnei shahayore me'acher ein machshav atzma leklum. When there is Yira, then it's not me. It's not me. Umavatal mitziusai etzel acher, and his own mitzius, his own existence, his own reality, becomes nullified in the presence of the other. V'kashu mevatal mitziusai etzel Hashem Yisbarach, and when a human being is mevatal, now when that happens between people, that can be very dangerous. But by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, v'kashu mevatal mitziusai etzel Hashem Yisbarach. When a person is mevatel his mitzius, his own existence, his own sense of self, of his own ego, etzel Hashem Yisbarach, with Hashem, nimtza she'ein lo mitzius mitzad atzmo. It means that it's no longer me, it's him. That's what it means to be a Yirei Shamayim. You know, you have a person that even when it comes to Dvarim Shebekdusha, even when it comes to matters of holiness, that somebody is getting an aliyah, you wanted to have the aliyah. Somebody is a magid shir, somebody is saying a shir, you think you could say a better shir. Somebody is being makar of people, you think that you could do it better. The tzaddikim, the meat of the tzaddikim is, what's the nafkim, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else? The main thing is that the Bnei Shalom's will is being accomplished. Adarab, I have tremendous simcha and joy knowing that Hashem's will is being fulfilled. When people love, then there's jealousy. When there's love, there's jealousy. Because ultimately, unless it's the most profound love and the most perfect love, the ego exists very strongly in a relationship of love. Therefore, you can't love anybody else. If you love anybody else, it means that you don't love me. You can't relate to anybody else. People murder other people because of these things. People, and they say, and while they handcuff the guy and they take him to jail, he says, I love her. I remember I once saw her when I was a kid on television. I'm thinking it's a wonderful thing. He just killed her and he loves her. I love. He killed her. He killed the boyfriend. He was a whole, made a whole shchita, and the whole way to jail, he's saying, he loves everybody, and they're taking him off to, you know, to jail. The ahava is something which the individual, which gives the individual more of his own existence, and therefore the fact that people love each other doesn't necessarily make them less selfish. You would think it would make them less selfish. Not dafka. Very often, that brings to more selfishness.
Huh? It would be hard to love Hashem and not fear Him. The reason why you love Him would intrinsically fear Him.
I wish that were that's the way it's supposed to be. You're right. And you know what? Keep it on hold because we're going to be learning about that. That's what we're going to be learning about. So, but when he says when it comes to Yira, then Yira means that. Yira means it's not me. It's not me. It's not for me. It's not because of me. Mm. It's Him. It's the Rabbanu Shlomo. How could it be that with the Baal Tanya, they once heard the Baal Tanya scream out by davening? The Baal Tanya thought that he very rarely, the Baal Tanya wasn't a screamer. But they heard once the Baal Tanya, he was saying, I don't want Gan Eden. I don't want Malachim. I only Rabbanu Shlomo to do your will. It's only you. That's it. That's why nowadays you see now Bechlau, everybody's looking for love. There's a reason for that. We're getting closer to Mashiach. There's a reason for it, but it's very, very hard. Like if you would ask, it's a hard thing to explain. Like a lot of the kids nowadays, if they're with a Rebbe that doesn't show them much love or affection, it could be the end of their Yiddishkeit. If a Rebbe doesn't show attention and love, that's all the seminars and meetings and talks, right? Where are we going to find rebellion? But, no, we have to have a Rebbe that shows love and that shows care and shows concern. Let me ask you something. How many of our great-grandfathers do you think had Rebbes like that? What do you think they had like a... Like when I look now at the boys from the shul, if I look here, we have some of the Rebbes here from the yeshiva. Here, we've got Shalom Yaini, we have Ramesha, Eli. You think I had Rebbes like that? If I had Rebbes like this, I'd be a better Jew. I didn't have rabbis like that. I had mostly, they were angry, like, you know, old people, the Talmud, I'm a Shaitan, a Rasha, I'm a Goy. They said Goy, a Shagetz. So now, if you would bring one of those rebbeim to a school now, you might as well put a machine gun in his hand and tell him to get to work. Anybody who has a little bit of seichel knows that it's not going to work nowadays. By the way, that's not such a simple thing when I said everybody has a little bit of seichel. There aren't so many people that have seichel. But I understand it. You have a Shalom Yon, you have a rebellion, you have a Ramesh in a yeshiva. You have people like that in yeshiva. So you understand that they talk to boys, they talk to their cheres, they talk with a hava, with caring, and they can relate to guys. Well, I had a rebellion that was like related to me. What's the pshat to relate to me? I don't even know what that means. To say good Shabbos. I don't remember, like, to say good Shabbos, maybe. On Friday they said good Shabbos. That was like the only personal thing I ever heard. You know, I'm not exaggerating. It wasn't so already in my generation, some of the guys couldn't take it. Because some of the guys couldn't take it, and they said, forget, I had enough. This generation, you can't get away with it. But what about 100, 200, 300 years ago? Are we so, do you think that everybody's like the Rebbe Zushi or something like that? I mean, well, everybody's like the Kedushas Levi. Everybody was a Moshe of Salsa and came running over to you and kissing you and hugging. Well, Ruba, they were also, you know, like, you know, some of these rabbis were so poor in Cheder. My father tells me, with Cheder, with they had a pacha to go. My father remembers, I told this to once, but my father remembers that in his town, in Unvar, there was a rabbi in Cheder that killed a boy in Cheder. He killed him. He gave him such a whack over the head, the boy didn't wake up the next morning. He killed him. So how is it that Jews remain Jews? You try to think, like, that wouldn't work at all now. So it's a very complicated thing, but I think what we're learning now, Pasha Pshat, is that in a generation where ahava, where love is expected, and that's all you grew up hearing about, is ahava, 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 anything less than ahava is devastating. Our ancestors were infused, I believe, from what I've read and what I've heard, that they were infused with Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim means that even if the rabbi looked at him in the wrong way, I can still put on tefillin tomorrow. You get a guy now, he says, I'm not putting on tefillin. Why not? No, my rabbi is angry with me. I don't like my rabbi. I'm finished with tefillin. It's like if I tell it to my father, he says, I'm like a lunatic. You're angry? What does it have to do with you putting on tefillin? You have to put on tefillin. Does the Baruch Hashem say you have to put on tefillin? Okay, even though Yiras Einish alone is not a healthy thing, alone. But I believe that it was more than that, and you still see it by certain. You still see this by certain yin. Like when you go to certain circles, you have to be more careful what you should say, because you know that if you say a wrong word, then maybe it's going to turn somebody off. You know. Then you go someplace else, and you meet a certain kind of yin. You know, you could tell them, I hate your guts. I hope you drop dead. Chas v'shalom. I never want to see you again. And it's not going to make it, you know, he says, okay, he says, it's not nice. And maybe I wish you the same. But it's not going to make a difference as far as the davening is concerned. It's like not going to make a difference as far as the davening is concerned. Now you could talk to a group of people, and if you say something that sounded like it's against women, then you're in danger. Maybe 25 women are not going to keep Shabbos the next week. Uh-oh. But like you see the alarms going off. Uh-oh, ding, 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 ding. Like, what is this? You think that by there was such a chashman? Yir Shamayim, because Yir Shamayim means it's not for me. The people that are, this chashman, of what am I in it for? You know how many times people say to me, you talk about Yiddishkeit, we were talking about this once already. What does this do for me? What does Yiddishkeit do for me? This is connected to what we're learning. So, Ahava, when it's with Yira, that's taka something that we're going to learn about. That's a shlemus. But ahav on its own is itself could be very egotistical. Yira, on the other hand, yira is so einish to begin with, on a higher level, reverence, awe. When a person is mevatel with mitzias l'shem yisbarach, he says, nimtza she'ein lo mitzias mitzad atzmai. Then it's no longer me. It's no longer my mitzias.
Why is Bechla called Yira? Is that occurring what we're learning here? It's not, why the word Yira?
Well, how does it bother you, the word?
It sounds more like it's a Hachara, a Yediya. Yira is fear. Yira is...
Because we think of it like that. That's not the Lashon of Chazal to mean to be like someone holding a... That's not that. It means Yipashu Pashat means Yosef Rahimus. It doesn't mean that. I mean to speak about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Oh, now it's no longer me and Hashem. I'm part of Hashem kivyachol. I'm kivyachol. I'm like uba yerech ima. I'm an extension of the Master of the world. Why is it that Klai Yisrael is eternal? Because they're an extension of the One who's eternal. Klai Yisrael is infinite because we are inseparable from the infinite God. Many people who claim to love God, their religions, their people are completely gone, and they love God, they're in love with God. But if there's no Yiras Shamayim, so then it means that I love Him. Maybe He loves me, but it's the two who are mischaber, and we get together for the duration of this love affair. Yira means eternity. Yira means infinite, because Yira means it's not me. I'm finite. Even being is finite. He's Ketzel Oiva. He comes, he goes. The Baruch Hashem is infinite. The reason that Klai Yisrael is an infinite, eternal people is not because of Ahava. That's what I was talking about the Zaydis, that they were in the Bobbies, that they were able to go through anything. Eish and Mayim. They went through fire and water. I'm not talking about the Rebbe who didn't say good morning. I'm talking about the fire and water. But there was a certain hergish of Yiras Shamayim that was a part of Klai Yisrael, that nowadays it's a greater struggle than it used to be. It's a greater struggle than it used to be.
Is Yira therefore easier to pass along to your children than Ahava?
Is Yira easier to pass along? Yeah, it's a good question. It has a side that's easier and it has a side that's harder. It's easier to pass along because if you're Yirei Shamayim Be'emes, if you have Yirei Shamayim Be'emes, you don't have to give lectures about it. Ahava you have to talk more about. Ahava means more lectures, more discussions. Yira, my father didn't talk to me about we learned. Either my father spoke to me about like philosophy of religion. We learned learn Gemara. I talk about Yiddishkeit. It's my father's open the Gemara. It says Shambach and Batalas. That's how we talk about religion. I don't even talk about religion per se. But I grew up with a person who was infused with the Yiras Shamayim. You know, which I saw when he was, the way he said Tehillim, and I saw that there wasn't such a thing not to go to Shachos and Mincha Maariv. Shachos and Mincha Maariv. No such thing. And I don't feel so good. Shachos and Mincha Maariv. Yiras Shamayim is something that, in that respect, it's easier to give over. If you're a Yiras Shamayim. So then the question is it easy to be Yiras Shamayim? No. Is it easy to give over Yiras Shamayim? Yes. You just have to be Yiras Shamayim. That's all. But I have a Hashem, you know, a Sukkot, a Shabbos. Yiras Shamayim is day in, day out. Ahavas Hashem, you see, a person can have his great days, his great moments, and he's able to be mashpia, some hergish of Ahava. But Yiras Shamayim, that's something which you can't fake. You can't sell it. You can't, either it is or it isn't. Children know very quickly. Children pick up with the parents have Yiras Shamayim or not. They can pick up that they understand how they talk and how they dress and how they live in the house and what they're looking at. You could stand with your eyes closed and you could be singing L'cha Dodi and crying, and then you tell your kids how much you love the Baruch Shalom. It's not that doesn't necessarily have a hemshech. But Yiras Shamayim is something which is real, and that's much harder. I believe it's much, much harder.
Yiras Shamayim is a higher level
than Avos Hashem. No, so that's what we're going to address now in footnote 62, okay? Because we find very often in the Svar Makadoshim, the Chazal, that the highest Madrega is Avos Hashem, right? Loving Hashem is the highest Madrega, and Yiras Hashem, fear, is a lesser Madrega, right? That's what we see very often. So we have to.
Especially based on these definitions,
I assume. So we have to understand. There are two levels. The two types of ahava. That's what we were talking about before. There's ahava, and there's ahava mitoch yira, right? Yira mitoch ahava mitoch yira. That's the highest level. Ahava alone is not. And so when we speak about the highest madrig, it means those two. Yeah, in footnote 62, this is the shayna mechidusha God is the Shabbos Tam Ralef. Lo mitzad ahava sashemesh baruch ki ahava mitzad. Shehi ben shnei devarim. Ahava means shragi and sprinzel. It means there are two. Ein bezaki min Hashem is barach. Shesov yesh to kol achet inyan bifnei atzmo. Therefore, you don't have that ingredient of what? Of the infinite, eternal Hashem. Because there's Hashem and there's you. Ve'ein ma'oru kiyam mitzad atzmoi. And since no human being, since a human being is only created by Hashem, can exist independent of Hashem. So as much as we see love as being something which creates a dependency, the truth is that it's something which is connected to the ego and to the self. And therefore, once there's the self, it means you're by, on some level, you are by yourself. When the self is empowered, it means that you're not dependent upon the other. Rak mitzad ha'ila. Therefore, Yiras Hashem, he oitzara bilvad. Coming back to the pasuk that the whole parak is based upon, that Yiras, with all the wonderful things that we were learning about, and what we were learning about from the pasuk, and Munasi Techa, and Maidim, and Israel, and all the stem of Shas, and what each one means in Shemayim, and Oretz, all those things. But at the end of the pasuk it says, Yiras Hashem, he oitzara, which means that man's treasure. And remember, a treasury lives in the morale is something that preserves something forever, right? That's what a treasure chest does. It preserves that which is most precious. What's the most precious thing in the world? Our Yiddishkeit. That which is preserved in our existence, which has preserved us, is Yiras Hashem. That's man's treasure. Not all of those gewaltig things. Yiras Hashem, Yiratzor. If you have Yiras Hashem, Yiratzor, Bilvad, Kimisha Yesh, but Yiras Shamayim, because then the person who has Yiras Shamayim, it's not me, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not feeling so good about this. I'm not so happy with what happened to me today. For those, the Baruch Hashem says, the Baruch Hashem says, I can't go and do the Seveira. I'm not going to do the Seveira. Why? It's not me, it's him. So, Yiras Hashem al panav, ukihimu ein dover ba'atzmo. It's as if he doesn't have his own existence. Rak hakol hu Hashem isbarach. Hakol hu Hashem isbarach. Do you know how many people have unbelievable emotional anguish because they're lacking in Yiras Hashemayim? You know how much money psychologists, I mean, they should make money from Nilmus Island, not from Jews. You know how much money psychologists are making because of this Yiras Hashemayim that's missing. What do I mean by that? You know, if you have a person whose whole simcha, his whole joy depends on what? On yeshus. Am I happy today? Coming back to what I said before, how did my parents talk to me today? How did the Rebbe talk to me today? How did my boss talk to me today? How did my wife talk to me? The chances are, Rabbi said, the chances are that somewhere out of those, something's going to go wrong in the course of it. Chances are not between all of those, something's got to go wrong. So you have a person, and when you talk to him, he's got no self-esteem, no confidence, no simchas achayim. Why is he having no simchas achayim? Because his whole metzius is yeshus, is me. And therefore, if something doesn't go well with me, it's all fafalim, the whole world is fafalim, the world stinks, nothing is good, my whole life is worthless. This person is no good. That friend is not a real friend. When a person doesn't live with this way of Yiras Hashemayim, of Yira, which means Bitl Hamitzias, Bitl Hayesh, Ki Yira Hu Ein Devar Be'Atzma, it's very hard to have a Simchas Achayim, because if everything in your life revolves around you, the chances are that it's not going to go well with you. Every day, there's going to be something that's going to get you upset. It's going to get you upset. So you try to mechazik yourself. Okay, maybe it's not so good by me today, but by my children it's good. So something, then you're depending on the kids. So if something doesn't go well with the kids, if something doesn't go well, the only one who could be besimcha all the time, every minute of his life to be besimcha, and to truly feel also the tzar of another Jew that's missing something, is when a person lives in this way of Yiras Hashemayim. We don't have and everything, it's good, but Yiras Hashemayim is it's what? Ain't Dover by Ba'atzma. It's not me. So if my panos fell apart, God forbid, if my panos fell apart, Baruch Hashem, Yankel has a panos. So the yeshivas will have to, the only thing is I feel good. I'd like to support the yeshiva, I'd like to support other good things, and I can't right now. What am I supposed to do? That's not my business, the Baruch Hashem's business. The Baruch Hashem's business, what am I going to do?
What effect does it have on him if God forbid he doesn't do exactly what the Baruch Shalom wanted? How does that affect him? In other words, the things that happen to him, like his...
If he's mitzvah in Avodah Hashem.
And how does that affect him?
That he's quick to do tshuva. In recent tzaddik, chayte balala, atahar achav b'yoy. He's quick to do tshuva, because that's the focal point of his entire existence. He can't give up that. He can't give up his Yiras Hashemayim. So that, even though there could be a mitzvah, but it's quickly resolved. It's quickly resolved. But another person will spend 20 years in therapy. Why? Because of the yeshus. And everybody thinks that he hates himself. He can't. It's not true. All the most chaotic people, the most depressed people in the world, are generally the biggest, the most egotistical people in the world. I know it sounds like it's a terrible thing to say. The most depressed people are the biggest egomaniacs. Because it's fazich alayim. Everything has to be. How did it go by me? How is it by me? What's with me? What's with me? What's by you? What's it? So what if it doesn't work out by you? And if it's not you? So it's all in the levush of hating oneself and not loving oneself and having no self-esteem. All of those, of course, are real feelings that the person has. But why does he have such a terrible self-esteem? Because he always feels that the other one doesn't respect me enough. When my friend doesn't respect me, he respects somebody else. It's like yeshus. It's an unbelievable yeshus. So here's tomorrow morning in Chesed Hamidah, we're starting the parak on that Indian of Yeshus. It's the most destructive thing in the world. Is Yeshus. You can have people that look like Tamir Chachamim, and you have someone like, you know, that they weren't Mechabedim, and they didn't give him a bracha under a chuppah, and he's like, oh, like angry and bitter, and he's not coming to your simcha again, and you know, like all these crazy things that go on, and people getting upset and not talking, and from what? From Yeshus, from an inflated self. What's the nafkah minute whether you're invited or not invited? I mean, it's crazy. If people make a whole cheshbon that I wasn't invited to that person's wedding. Your Tzimha, I was talking about that a little bit last night, you mentioned it. But from another angle. So you're not invited to the person's wedding. It's a nafkah minute. I had an unbelievable thing. There was somebody that I'm actually a very good friend of his, from the mountains. We're very good friends. We talked the whole summer mamish in Avoda, in learning. I really love this guy. So he didn't come to the chasna that we made. He didn't come to the chasna. So I figured he had something to take care of, and I didn't think twice about it. I would have liked to have seen him to do a weekend, but I figured he had something. Anyway, that was a Shabbos. The chaver from the mountains made us a Shabbos brachas for the kids. And this year it comes, and I didn't ask him anything. And we're dancing. And he's amish m'samech the chasna kal m'samech me. And what happened is that, so one of the chaver that was there said to me, you know, so and so, you know, he wasn't by the chas. I said, yeah, he wasn't by the chas, and I figured he had something. He said he never got an invitation. He found out from the wife was, you know, found out he never got an invitation. I said, what are you talking about? So we had a few that happened like that. It was a big oil in Canaan Horror. You know, there were mistakes. We never did this before. And with the shul, we got different lists, and we got mixed up with this chabur, that chabur, the chaver, I don't know. And I didn't go over any of these things. And there was some mistakes. They made push mistakes. There was no mistakes. So I went over to him, and I held him. I said, I have to ask you for mechila. So he said, well, I thought maybe, you know, you had a lot of people, but I said to him, but you came here tonight thinking that you were like the only person from the whole island that wasn't invited. And you came to him with Sameach, and with such a simcha, that if I never would have known that. I never would have said anything. We'd have gone to 120. And then I begged him for mechila. It was an oversight, you know, and I don't know what happened with the list. And such a Musa Haskell of a Yid. He said to me, well, I'm so happy for you. He meant, I'm so happy for the kids. I wanted to come dance. And I'm so happy. It's not like, now, most of us, you guys would say to me, I'm going to go to the Sherebrach? A chutzpah, they even call me. How dare they call me to Sherebrach? To the chasna, I wasn't good enough to go. To the chasna, they would never invite me. And I talked to the guy, the whole summer, and he couldn't invite me to the chasna. That's not good. And now they have a nerve because they need maybe a mini for shower brothers, and they're going to get me on the show. And all of that, but his brother was making a simcha that night also, some kind of a simcha, Rav Malka, something I know, and he ran over to Madraga. You know where that comes from? It comes from Anivus. Orfa Vaisha. There's a Chosman Carlos, Hanafka. There's a friend of mine. So okay, so we felt so that he no why whatever the chashman is, he must have a chashman. He figured, why don't I get some chashman? Whatever the chashman is, everybody else was invited. That's a person he can live besimcha. Well, everybody else is making all kinds of chashman, even when you're invited. How can they put me by this table? why did the besimcha put me at this table? He must have some kind, because he put me because he knows that I hate this guy. He must have had a reason to put me because he also hates me. And then you have all the, you know, and you can have someone that has nothing in life and that he lives with simcha mamish. All we mean is that he's filled with simcha. That's what it means. Ki'ilu ha'ayim dover ba'atim rakab kol hu Hashem is baruch. Last line. V'kashu hu ba'atim ha'ayim dover. And when the person himself is nothing. And nothing doesn't mean you hold yourself to be shmata. Nothing doesn't mean that anybody could step on you. That's not what it means, Bechla. We'll learn more about that. Like a call, Hashem is born. It means that your nimsa means that you're given over completely to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You're given completely over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'chein kosa b'bor ha'golo b'bor ha'shishi. The Ma'ariv writes in the b'bor ha'golo. U'b'ktsar b'nisiv yos Hashem perek boiz. U'l'el b'hakdoma. Ha'ib'ahava yeishnam shnayim. The Ma'ariv says this keseda, that in a relationship of love there are two. There's the ohev and the nehev. The one who is loving and the one who is beloved. U'b'yir. That's why you have so many times, you know that it's true, especially with teenagers. You can have a little boy and girl, and this couple, and really, you know, the couple, they hold hands, they go to the movies, alles. And everything is very nice, and the end is really, really, this one feels bechlau, nothing of on any level or any depth for the other. It's just that they think that you love me. And everyone thinks that he loves her. And because of this, they're going to all kinds of crazy problems. That the truth is that they don't love each other at all. Or that you have an ohev, you have one that does love, and you have the one that is enjoying very much the feeling of being loved, akibay kach, but he tilts it into himself and he must love her too, or vice versa. This happens very often to girls. That a girl, that if someone says, I love you, I love you, I love you, then she says, Mustan, I love you too. I guess I love you. You love me so much. I must love you too. People get married like that. It's a pacha. People get married like that. So I have a yesh nam shnai. Ubi yira yesh nai rak echad. Ubi yira, there's only one. Now, this is what David was asking before. What do you mean? We see in Ahava is a very high level of Dveikus. Love is a very strong level of attachment. We see throughout Chazal in this form. So it says, Well, I'll say that when someone serves Hashem out of love, he's attached to Hashem. He says the word David by. Aber hayira, shuriyayim in Hashem is baruch, but za'ein divayik is baruch, it sounds like a hapech. Over there in the Nesiv HaVeidim, Ra'al says that when there's a harva, there's divaykis, there's attachment. And when there's yira means, means that you're afraid. And if being afraid means that you move away, right? Being afraid means you keep a distance. He says, Hayom in ha'achod, einam ischar b'imai. Poshut, you'd say, when you're afraid of someone, you keep your distance. You're afraid. You don't become attached to the one you're afraid of. You retreat. Or a kach mitzal yira, einam dveikam b'ilah. Shayhu yom in ha'ilah v'hu b'fnei atzmai. So it sounds like in the Nesiv HaVeidim, I'll say, mamish the opposite. Over here we're learning that the highest level of Dveik is when you have no existence and you only work part of the infinite God. That's yours, Hashem. And Ahava means, there's me and there's him, there's me and there's him. Okay, it's nice, beautiful, but it's separate. But in the Nesiv HaVeidim, the Ma'ariv says no. There he says, Ahava is Dveik is attachment, and Yira means I'm careful, I'm worried, I retreat, I'm nervous, I step away. So what do we make out of this? It sounds like it's mamish astira. It sounds like it's a contradiction. It's partially like this. You have to say this. And this Kesedah is found in some, the Zohar Kodesh is found in Divrei Chaim, it's found in the Neiman HaMelech, the Gush HaSlavi, it's found in all the Svarim explained. I know you have to hear from the Chacham Echad, it's in all the Svarim. They were talking about different types of Dveikus. There are Shnei Sugi Dveikus. There are different types of Dveikus. Ki HaDveikus, Shehu Yizkura B'Nesiv HaAvoida, but the Ma'ariv is talking about, the Dveikus the Ma'ariv is talking about over there in the Nesivus Olam, there the Ma'ariv is talking about Hidveikus Shel Achdus V'Chibur. The Ma'ariv is talking over where there's no question that as far as the Hergish, the association, the Hergish, the identifying with, the feeling of closeness, and his chavrus, there's no question that ahava, love, is the highest level. There's no question about it. Love is the highest level. But that's what he's talking about. But the dveikus we're talking about here, he dveikus shokiyim ha'olim. The Maharal says, with the Maharal saying here, it's not talking about, from my perspective, am I in a state of dveikus? Am I misdabbing? Very often the Yer Hashem doesn't feel anything. Doesn't feel anything. But his children are going to be from Jews and his grandchildren. The Yer Shemayim. Because here it's talking about the kiyum that one has. It means one's very existence. Shayna Moshman Koyini Kosov, he's not at all separate. He doesn't depart for a moment. He's not separate from the source of his life. With a Hava, you can do that. You can get lost in the self. You can get lost in the self. But with Yira, that doesn't happen. The Kol Chiyuso, I mean, an unhealthy Yira can certainly happen. When a person, when we spoke about it for years, there are people who are so terrified of Hashem that they can't serve him. They're so afraid. There was such a thing. I knew a bacha like that. There was a time that he was unbelievable learning and davening, and he had all of a sudden like a total shiur sakeim. Total shiur sakeim in this bacha. And I'm still in touch with him. It's already must be 15, 16 years we're talking now. He's already coming a little bit. But he had such a shiur sakeim, he couldn't approach Hashem in his bacha. He was filled with such an unhealthy terror and fear. He couldn't be an Eved Hashem. There was too much for him. He had a Shavuos HaKerem. That's a very dangerous and unhealthy thing. That's why the Shalom is always going to be when there's love and fear. Ahav and Yir. Vira Advaita Shuzgur Kami Advaita Shakim Shayna Mashim Goyim Nikosim Kochi Yusuf Bela Rakmi Iloso. The Yir we're talking about here is that all my existence, my entire being, is only what I receive from the one who causes me every moment to be in existence. The Dugma Lekach Hua Tzamach Shechai Kol Od Hua Tuba, which is the example that I gave before, that a plant, as long as it's in the earth, it can grow. It's alive. Right, so the reason that the plant can live is because of its attachment to the earth. It's not a devakus of a hergish, of a love, they give that sense of devakus, like we talk about the Svema Kedoshim devakus, the love of Hashem reaches an unbelievable majority. It's talking about here devakus shel ki, existence, perseverance, whatever. The diet rush. She was this was the Shabbos, but his cloud tell us the Vikas, but his Kashan had in a key. But Kaf Av Kang, so his in the Vikas can also show the gun. Now the boy who shall ask, so I will shall have it better than you, even because I'll say that I have is greater than you, that love is greater than fear. That the one who serves the Shaman of love is greater than the one who serves him out of fear. The kind of assertion that it's not contradiction, he can't argue the Vikas shall kill him, the love of the Vikas shall act this way. We're going to talk more about it. So that would be yourself, we'll talk more about it. Back in the text, last word, I'll kill you now, right? That is the key of a person, the Vadai. Ki ain le Nimsayim shum kilim in the Ruach. Because the Nimsayim, what are created in this world, can have no kilim if not through Hashem. There's no existence if not through Hashem. And that's what explains the Kibbutz. This I read in the Shabbos. Bir Hashem it's Chiyusi is Ba'a Kiyoha Chala Al Yashamayim. Now explains that what I was saying before is that infinite clarity of Chum. It was fear, again, someone who has reverence for the Rabbanim, for the Chacham, Lahavit Sur Rabban. Someone who has Yira before Talmud Chacham, who has tremendous awe and respect for Talmud Chacham, he's going to be a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, Lahavit Sur Rabban. He's going to end up being a Talmud Chacham, such a person. If things go the right way, he's going to end up being a Talmud Chacham. Why? He says, Ki Ayori Menach Chachamim, because that Jew who is afraid of the Chacham, who has Yira from the Chachamim, Ad shemavatel mitziyuso madregos el chacham till he's mavatel his mitziyus and his madrega to the chachamim. Umetnekach hu baatzma yetsub rabban. He himself is going to be a talmud chacham. He is a klei kibul. He is going to receive mamish from the chachamim. He's mavatel himself. You see, the biggest amaratzim are always making fun of this rabbi doesn't know anything, this rabbi doesn't know this rabbi doesn't know that, this Talmud Chacham not a Talmud Chacham. The biggest Amaratzim guy The guy doesn't know a thing. He's making nobody. The rabbi can't talk. The rabbi, this one can't daven. This one can't do this. But nobody knows anything. Only him. Only him. So that kach habitl that he had, that he was lacking in yira, that, by the way, is the most poisonous thing that could be in a house. Regardless of what you might think, what kind of a person the rabbi is, or this rav is, or this rosh yeshiva, oy vavoy, when your children begin to hear you denigrating Talmid Chachamim, even if it's someone that you think is not a Talmid Chachamim, but they hold as a Talmid Chachamim, they said Talmid Chachamim, the children hear that, so it's like you're crossing your kids off the list of being Talmid Chachamim. The Gemara says, the Dochle Rabban Lahavitzur Mirabban, the one who has year before the Talmid Chachamim, Lahavitzur Mirabban, he'll be a Talmid Chachamim. If not him, then his children will be Talmid Chachamim. Right, he himself becomes that. He himself is then part of that world. If you're mevati yourself to the Talmud Chacham, to the Tzaddik, to the Talmud Chacham, it means that your mitzias is not a mitzias. Your mitzias is only through the Talmud Chacham, through the Tzaddik. And when your mitzias is through the Tzaddik, then you understand that you yourself are not cheshbon of being a Tzaddik. He gives himself over completely to Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, he receives that quality of Hashem. When you mevati yourself to a tzaddik, then you begin, you receive that quality, that koyach. And same thing, when a person mevati himself to Hashem Yisbarach, he is mekabel that, which is what? Nitzchis, eternity. Lekach Yirah Shemaim, he Eitzor, that's why Yirah Shemaim is called the treasure. V'havena Dvar Me'el. V'hine Kan, Bia Shekiyumu Shul Ha'odam, Hurak Be'am Tzor Z Yirah Shemaim. Amnam Ederachayim, Bia Shekiyum HaChachma, Hurak Be'am Tzor Z Yirah Shemaim. There, the Moral talks about the Kiyum of Chachma. Now, he's going to talk about this also in this parak, so let's look a little bit what he says over here in the note. He says, over there in Ederachayim, the Moral says that to preserve one's wisdom, one's chachma, that's only b'mtzos yivah shemayim, b'kol shana sham. V'dov ezeh b'yur chacham perikim medlikin, shekim ha-chachma toli b'yira. Right? Reishis chachma yiras Hashem. In order that chachma should be preserved, there has to be yiras shemayim. V'chin yisa hasam, v'hoye emunis yitachu b'yudov ezeh, k'a chachma ein lo kiyim, im loy mitzad Hashem ezbach shuhu ha'ila. Chachma has no kiyim itself. Chachma doesn't exist. He does not exist without Hashem, who is the cause. Kilfi gorgul madregas a chachma, ein kiyim aleha etz lahadam shu bal guf. Rak mitzad Hashem is baruch shu ha'ila. Ki kasher ha'adam yirei shemayim, when a person is a yirei shemayim, hinei ha'adam olu l'Hashem is baruch lagam, the same thing, that he's what? He's completely connected to Hashem. V'kasher ha'hu olu l'Hashem is baruch shu ha'ila, hinei yesh el ha'olu kiyim mitzad al ilasa, l'fich ha'kasher ha'adam yirei shemayim, v'az nechshev ha'adam olu l'hei ha'ila, az chachmasa yesh la kiyim mitzad ilasa. Then his chachm is able to be preserved mitzad his connection to the one who is the cause of his existence. Hu Hashem is l'Hashem ha'kayim ha'kal. V'zedachsiv reishis chachm yas Hashem. So that what happens if you have a Jew? He's very, very smart. He knows a lot, but he doesn't have Yirah Shemayim. So Chazal say it doesn't last. The Chachma doesn't last. Ki ein kiyum l'chachma rak mitzad hakesher olu b'ilu yisbarach. So we have to see more. What does that mean, practically speaking, that his Chachma doesn't last? If he doesn't have Yirah Shemayim, the Chachma is not going to last. That doesn't mean that he loses his mind, he becomes stupid, he doesn't remember. What does that mean that the Chachma doesn't last? Poshut pshat that the Chachma doesn't affect his way of living necessarily. You could have a person that knows everything, that knows the way he's supposed to be, what the family is supposed to be like, what the home is supposed to be like, how he's supposed to live, and it hasn't, Lamaisa doesn't have any kiyum. Without Yirah Shemayim, it's all theoretical. It's all theoretical. There's nothing at all that's practical in terms of what happens to, in terms of his actual life is not affected by his chacham. The chacham has no kiyum. It doesn't have any kiyum. So you could find the smartest person in the world who's doing the dumbest things. You see, he's so smart. Why are you doing these dumb things? Because it's without Yirah Shemayim. And if it's without a chacham, without Yirah Shemayim means that man is striving to achieve wisdom, understanding, and intelligence without the one who is the source of intelligence. And because of that, that intelligence is ultimately doomed. So look, in our generation that we're living, Never have people been as smart and as stupid. This is the smartest generation that there ever was. How many people you have nowadays is certainly in Western civilization today. Very well educated and well read. Never had people like this before. But as far as what's passionate about how a person should live, you and I, every time you walk in the street, you could see a person that he's brilliant, he's this, he's that, and he's the biggest idiot you ever met in your life. He doesn't know how to live. His whole life is messed up. The bigger the chacham, the bigger the shaitan. It's a crazy world. Why? Because there's no Yiras Shamayim. When people were simpler, they were smarter also. When people had more Yiras Shamayim, they were smarter. When I say smart, it doesn't mean that they knew chemistry or physics, or they knew Shakespeare or their philosophy. No, but they knew right from wrong, from what was right and what was wrong. And positive people, even the Havdol, even the Umasayim, even Goyim. Positive people knew right from wrong. Now you have all kinds of svaris and chachmas and subjects that are taught in colleges, and the whole subject is shtus. There's textbooks that are only about shtusim, only about narishkeit. The whole textbook is only about some shtus, some heaven, some crazy havolim. Shtusim, an imagination, because without Yiras Shamayim, there's no kiyum for chachma. All that chachma is doomed. So does that mean that people don't know physics? No, people know physics. What was that? The people know more than they ever knew. What was the tachlis? The more people know, the less they want, the less shaykhis they have to applying any chokhmah to their own lives. They become more and more detached from their own lives and from their own chokhmah. The chokhmah doesn't mean anything. So somebody's a bucky in physics, and so what? So he's able to move. He's able to go from here to there. But in terms of his simchas achayim and who he is as a person, this generation is the dumbest generation that there ever was in history. In books and in scores, maybe SAT or whatever, it's probably the smartest generation. But in terms of how to live, there's never been such a stupid generation. Shtusim havolim.
Yeah. How do you juxtapose all this with the Maamar Chazal, Kol Bidei Shem Lo Yichutz Mi'Yiras Shamayim? I don't know. I'm just trying to. The implication of that Avos Shamayim is in the. I'm now having. Not sure what level I understood that before, but at the moment I'm having a problem.
You're having a hard time. But yeah. Listen, Aaron. How Kol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mi'Yiras Shamayim? We understand. Since Yiras Shamayim is the most precious thing in the world, it's such a Mekayim, a Jew, therefore it makes sense that there's nothing in our lives that depends as much upon our own choice as that which is the most precious thing. Even more so than Ahava. Even more so. Even more so. Look, you love your children, Baruch Hashem. Right? That wasn't your Bechira. The Baruch Hashem gave the kids, Baruch Hashem, they should be healthy and well, and you love them. You love them. It's a pal. And whoever marries them, you also love. That also might not have been your bechira. In the old days, it used to be. It's not necessarily now, right?
No comment.
No, but so when it comes to these things, and a person thinks that who they marry is, it's also not from the bechira, as much as people think it is. But when it comes to Yira is too important to be left up to anybody else. HaKol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'Yiras Shamayim, your Yiras Shamayim is completely a matter of your own choice, because that's how important it is. Even the love that you have for a children and for a wife is not completely your choice, but your Yiras Shamayim is your choice. There's nothing in the world that a person enjoys more and is more attached to than what he himself has chosen, than what he's worked for. Our Yiras Shamayim is completely what we've worked for. Even in terms of Ahavas Hashem, which is there's an Ahava Mesuteris B'Lev Ish, as the Tanya says, that what in the heart of every Jew there's a fiery love for Hashem. But Yiras Shamayim, there's nothing that is as sweet. It sounds crazy because love, being in love sounds like it's so much more fun. So loving the Baruch Shalom, yeah. But you know something, when a person goes through in the Nisayon, Chazal said in the Svar Mechkodesh, when a person goes through a test of his Yiras Shemayim and he comes out intact, there is nothing that is as sweet and as precious than a person who came out from his Nisayon as a Yid. There could be failures in the Ahavas Hashem, there could be successes in the Ahavas Hashem, but in Yiras Shemayim, because it's completely a matter of, you know, you could daven for Hashem is about to help you, but your Yiras Shemayim is mamish. It's mamish up to you. It's your choice. And therefore you feel that you made the right choice. You feel you made the right choice. I was talking once to a bacher who had certain problems with Shmir Sinayim. You know, he's honest to admit that he has problems with it, where his eyes are, where he looks. So I said to him, you know what, you want to feel good, be makabel upon yourself, and it was the summer, be makabel upon yourself tomorrow for an hour. 1 hour when you're in the street there for an hour that you're not gonna look at the wrong thing. And if you happen to see that, you're gonna turn away. But be makabel for yourself now. So I spoke to him that afterwards the next night, and he was so excited about it. Okay, maybe I could do it. I did it. I mamish did it. You know, I could do it. You know, you could, because that you can't tell a guy like that, you know, I don't want you to ever look at the wrong thing the rest of your life, because he's not ready for that. Who in our generation? But for an hour, that he was makabel, there's never ever did he have such a feeling of this is of what of bechira, of making a choice, of having that inner strength. That's unbelievable. The strength that comes with Yiras Shemayim, the kiyum that comes with Yiras Shemayim, is unbelievable, is immeasurable.
Rabbi, can you say that the source of Yiras Shemayim, rather than it being fear or pachad, comes from the source of ra'iyah, to see, to know?
Yeah, sure. That's a very, very good thing you're saying, Jay. The Maaseh, the Sforim talk about it a lot. Ri'iyah and Yira, there's no question about it that they're inseparable. We'll have to talk more about it. That's for sure. Ri'iyah and Yira are connected. That's the whole thing of Yerushalayim. The connection between Bahar Hashem Yira and Yerushalayim, there's a very strong connection. So we'll continue.